message is going to be about our relationship with our Lord. God's desire is to be close to His own, and His relationship to us is the most important thing in our lives. So many things hinder our connection to the Lord, including sin and disobedience, but Jesus' desire for us is to trust Him no matter what our current situation is. His death on that cross allows us to have that relationship. And this was and is God's main goal for us, to have His Holy Spirit dwelling in us to communicate with His children. By drawing on His Holy Spirit and not our own intelligence allows God's work to be done in our lives and in others. That feeling we get of unworthiness is Satan's way of making us give up our work for God. For we know that Jesus is the only one that is worthy, and we are wipe clean of all condemnation. Hosea 6:6. Hosea 6:6 tells us, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." God does this so that we, His children, do not have the right to boast about anything that we think we can do for God. For grace was given to us by Jesus' death, and the faith He gives us allows us to be saved. So Jesus tells us, in Luke 9:23-27, Luke 9:23-27, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What is good for a man to gain the whole world yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." So denying ourselves can be very difficult. We all struggle with this, whether it's feeling sorry for ourselves, disbelief that God will help us in situations, or just straight complacency. We get in the way of God's work sometimes. It's funny how we say we are trusting God in certain situations, but when it comes to His timing, anxiety sets in. When it comes to that point when we need to be quiet before the Lord and pray, His answers are crystal clear when our heart's desire is to seek Him and not to feel sorry for ourselves. So Jesus prays this in Luke 22 to 42. "Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Right afterwards, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Jesus took up his cross and denied himself. His temptations never resulted in sin, in word, in thought, or in deed. Hebrews 5:7-10. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he'd learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in order of Melchizedek. By taking up our cross daily is a willful decision. It takes place in our thoughts. Thoughts that aren't pleasing to God need to be put to death. For our minds stand guard at the door of our hearts. Temptation is only a suggestion from Satan, but we can choose to deny that thought in our hearts. When we struggle with bad thoughts, pray and let God know, so He can work in us what is good and pleasing to Him. Our helper, our counselor, the Holy Spirit, will guide us if we let Him. A great depiction of how our Holy Spirit works is this. 3 days after Jesus died, he appeared to His followers. Most of them were still in mourning, or some of His closest friends. They were trying to get over what had just happened. Let's read John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning, coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples declared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him? Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I wanted him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room in books that would be written. So the key takeaway from this chapter is Jesus telling Peter to follow me. See, at one point he looked at John and said, "Well, what about him? Our relationship with Jesus is our own. Each of us has a special relationship with our Lord, and it is different for everyone. God's desire is for us to show the world who he is. They can see his majesty through nature, but what about us? Does that stranger or even friend see Jesus in us? His yoke is light and he does all the work. A concern for us is having a pleasing relationship with him." Then 2 Peter 1:3-4. 2 Peter 1:3-4. "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." We all have that opportunity to call on a lawyer if we need one, right? I think all of us know at least one. Our counselor is free, and he lives inside our temple, and we have access to his word. God's peace is with us because we have accepted Jesus into our lives. Psalm 103, 12, and 13. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God's grace is for those who believe in him. This is our precious gift from him who loves us. Those who are his know and cherish this. Those that don't fear him trample on his grace, causing their relationship with him to diminish, making things in their lives very confusing and ugly. Several people in the Bible come to mind when I consider this. The consequences of their actions made their lives a spectacle. The last message I did back in late June depicted Samson being like this, a man chosen and separated by God to be a judge for his people. This guy did whatever he wanted, disregarding everything God told him not to do, including being unequally yoked with Delilah. His life ended in tragedy, but not before he surrendered to God and finished the work God gave him to do. A second figure would be David, beloved by God. His heart was for God, and that's why God loved him so much. But he made a few mistakes, one costing him the kingdom God had given him, a sinful desire to take Bathsheba, another man's wife, as his own. David should not have been at home during battle while his men were fighting, but he chose to be at home and succumbed to the sinful desire of his heart. So willful disobedience clouds our relationship to God. We just can't hear what he's trying to tell us when we engage in this. This isn't the end all, though, even though we feel like it sometimes. Repentance and a heart willing to change mends our relationship with him. Sin comes with consequences, no matter how little you think it is, but the prompting of the Holy Spirit should be our guiding light. The Holy Spirit lives in all who have chosen Jesus as our Savior. To conclude, the best practice of getting to know our Savior starts with reading our Bibles. The Bible is like taking vitamins. You know, without them, our body falls apart, doesn't function correctly. Like praying to the Lord in all things, great or small, shows our Father that we do love him and trust him. Allowing God to use us in all sorts of situations shows him we are ready to serve him. Giving God our time to be with him in meditation draws us closer and closer to him. This allows him to show us how he works. His timing in all things is perfect, and realizing this allows us to put our trust in him daily without wavering. Psalm 37, 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. And then the last verses I'm going to read is 1 Peter 4:1-11. 1 Peter 4:1-11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation when they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-control so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love conquers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with all the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.